What's the most sustainable way to love fashion? It's changing the way you shop by shopping with The RealReal. The RealReal is the world's largest and most trusted source for authenticated luxury resale. When you shop with The RealReal, you'll find the luxury brands you love, like Prada, Celine, and Loewe, all for up to 90% off retail. And when you're ready to refresh your wardrobe, you can sell the pieces you no longer wear to fund your next new to you finds. Buy, sell, repeat. Guilt-free. The RealReal extends the life cycle of luxury by keeping coveted items in rotation. Sell to shop, shop to sell with The RealReal. It's better for the planet and better for your closet. Plus, during Earth Month, you can earn $100 extra when you sell with The RealReal. Go to therealreal.com to get started. Earn $100 extra during the entire month of April at therealreal.com. That's therealreal.com. Terms apply.
Hello everybody, welcome to edition 285 of the NIF1 podcast. This is your NRF1 podcast straight out of Norfolk, UK. And we're back. It's been a little while, but we are back. We're here once again. And we're going to catch up on a bit of Russia, catch up on all of Turkey, and then look ahead to the next race in America as well. I am Richard Baxter, hosting once again. Thank you, Dan and Callum, who joint hosted last time and stepped in for that Spring Or special we had. But tonight I have the one and only, the guy who is a 2 times winner of the Beccles Karting Championship. Kyle Cumbers is here, everyone.
Good evening, Rich. How are you?
Evening, mate. Yeah, I'm good. I'm good. It's been a while since the last podcast, so it feels strange in some ways.
Yeah, I think last time I saw you, it was quite warm. So, and there's a definitely a autumnal feeling in sunny Norfolk the last few days. So, which obviously means that we're fast approaching the end of the season. An exciting end of the season that is.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I'm sat here in a big jumper, staying warm. I'm sure it probably felt a bit like Turkey today with the way the weather was going at some points. But it's a bit mixed.
Yeah, but Turkey did look like a sort of a British touring car race in October, really, didn't it?
Yeah.
So, well, our track in middle of October over here, not Turkey, where you, but normally I think it's pretty warm. I've been there a couple of times and it's very warm on both times I was there, but
it led to great racing. But before we get into that, we should quickly touch on Russia because we haven't done that yet. My apologies, because it's been a busy time and I've been away for a lot of that time. So this is like the first free week I've had in at least a month. So apologies for the delay in podcasts, but we'll go to talk about Russia quickly. Now, we have to say Russia, cracking race, start to finish. We had another a different Brit on pole, and some different guys kind of fighting for the win for the early part of the race anyway, the good first half.
Yeah, so we were, I think every year we've been sort of saying Russia's due a good race at Russia. And we finally got one. Because of the sort of damp conditions in qualifying. But as you mentioned, Lando Norris and his old teammate Carlos Sainz alongside him. And obviously Mr. Russell as well popping up in third. It was the front two rows were dominated by Brits. That then created, and especially with Verstappen's engine penalties that he took, so he didn't really bother with qualifying. Starting from the back, it gave all the ingredients for a Russian cracker.
It really did. And you have to say, watching it, the way that it was a dry race to begin with after the wet quali. And then it turned into kind of a wet race, and you had that period of changing from the dry tyres to the intermediates, and you had to decide when to do it, and being on the right tyre was cr- crucial as ever. And that was just going back to classic F1 races. That's exactly the same scenario. I instantly thought the way that at the end of the race that Hamilton and Norris were fighting, was it Belgium? Was it 2007 or 2008 where Hamilton and Raikkonen were battling?
I think it was 2008, wasn't it? I think it was Hamilton's year he won. When because it was him and the two Ferraris were sort of him and Raikkonen more, but I think Massa spin off in the end. I can't remember now. But they were just both struggling to keep on the track.
Yeah, and it was they were on the dry tyres on a wet track.
Yeah,
fine for half of it. Get around the second half, and it's just couldn't keep in a straight line. I remember Raikkonen going like flat out around a corner on the runoff area.
But yeah, sort of similar. Sort of last five laps, something like that. But just not that you do hear it. Sometimes all these races, you sort of sit there and the engineers sort of could be raining 10 minutes or whatever, and then you're like, "Oh, it's all going to kick off," and then nothing, and then you're watching the bits afterwards. You know, Sky pundits start talking, and suddenly it starts to rain. You think, "Oh, why couldn't this have been 20 minutes or 30 minutes before?" But but yeah, it was also just the fact it didn't look too bad for a few laps, and then suddenly when I think obviously poor old Norris stayed out that lap when Hamilton came in, and he came to that was it the fifth corner or whatever?
It all went downhill, didn't it, with the back markers and
yeah, just that camera angle, wasn't there? It sort of looks down on the track, and you think you couldn't really make out which car it was, and you're like, "Oh no, he's in big trouble here." The track was underwater, and yeah,
he's got a Haas like driving alongside him, just getting past. It's like you're on the wrong tyres then.
Yeah, that's a good point. It's a good sign, isn't it? Yeah, and the Haas comes past, you're like, "Yeah, we shouldn't be on these tyres anymore." But gutted for him. It was cracking weekend. But I'm sure it'll come.
Yeah, definitely. And I think, you know, it's one for the team to assess, and they'll work on, and they'll figure it all out, and they'll be back to where they belong at the front of the field soon. I mean, they've already won a race this year, so you don't want them to get too greedy by winning two, do you? So
all the McLaren fans out there, you know, sort of struggle to deal with two wins in a short period of time. After was it 8 years?
Oh, it's yeah, a good 8-9.
2012 wasn't it, the last one? Yeah.
Yeah.
9 years, isn't it? Yeah.
So, a long time. But there's one other thing we do need to mention from Russia, and that was the old Wily Fox himself, Fernando Alonso. Now, it was interesting because he'd said in interviews before the race, basically, he's been made to look like an idiot in previous races by obeying the rules where other people haven't, and they've made advantage. And then the parade lap starts, the warm-up lap starts, and he just cuts two. It's effectively turn one, isn't it?
Yeah.
But he just cut the corner entirely, went through that runoff area, which we should mention Carlos Sainz tried to do last year and made a d*** himself and put into the wall.
That was still one of my favourite moments of last year. Oh, no.
And then, so Alonso did that, worked out how fast he could go. He went through it, and then for the actual race start, he just cut the corner entirely, deliberately went through the runoff area that the FIA said you had to follow, didn't lose any time, so gained positions. But because he went through the runoff area, he didn't get any penalty or anything. And then he said in interviews, because everyone's since been talking about it, and is that right? And he said in interviews this week, I heard, that basically he was complaining, saying, "Oh, if it's someone else, let's see if there's anyone questioning it then." And he's basically suggesting that other drivers get different penalties, you know, possibly more lenient, possibly heavier. Now, who do you think he, if anyone, was referring to?
Because was he thinking about the Lando Norris? Because when Norris spun going into the pits, and then so he like,
oh, of course, yeah, crossed the white line.
Yeah, which, and obviously you had, was it Hamilton in Germany 2 years ago.
Yeah, in the rain, he went off, didn't he? And then,
caught the last sort of corners that everybody was going off, didn't he? And he cut and then smashed up his front wing, didn't he? And then cut across the. So it's. Yeah, it's just. But then I think the argument was saying, well, Lando Norris was actually attempting to get into the pits, where Hamilton never attempted to get into the pits until after his accident. But I don't know how you. Yeah, I don't know how you sort of define that. Surely, if you cut across the line, you cut across the line.
Yeah, I mean it's all in the wet. It's difficult conditions, so it's one of those weird things.
But I think he's got a point about the starts, because sometimes you do watch a start and you just think, well, people aren't really bothered; they're just going to go around the outside of that runoff area, and like Austria, for example, people just don't really worry about it. If you're on the outside, you know you're going to go over that bump and then use the track off the runoff area. So I think it's been.
It's the IndyCar line, isn't it?
Yeah. So I think it's been, from what sort of podcast I listened to, the race.com podcast, they were sort of saying that apparently it's been bringing this up a lot in sort of their drivers' meetings and stuff, and obviously nothing's been done. So we thought, well, I'll take advantage of myself. But he made it, he'd done enough, didn't he? Everybody knew what he'd done, but he couldn't prove that he'd done it on purpose in a way, because he made it look good enough that he just went, I just couldn't make the corner, so I ran wide. But I want it to be really interesting next year to see what they do with that runoff or the little chicane they put in.
Yeah, make a big S or something.
Yeah, I wonder what they'll do. But today it was quite impressive how quickly he got through there.
Yeah.
He didn't gain any spaces, did he? Just sort of kind of stayed where he was. So that was. So there's no reason why he didn't get penalised. But I don't always agree with what Fernando Alonso says, but I kind of agreed with him on the sort of runoff areas and first corners.
Yeah, that makes sense. Awesome. Well, I think that's Russia pretty much wrapped up. Is there anything else we need to bring up from there?
Probably, Hamilton's 100th win.
Of course it was, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've completely slipped my mind. 100th win.
Which, that's a crazy amount, really, isn't it? Thinking when you looked at. When you sort of look at Schumacher's, 91, and the second or third now in that list is. What's it, 40, 50? I can't remember now. Very quickly.
What do you think? We've seen in the past teams go. You know, have complete dominance with one car for several years. You know, 3-4 years. Obviously, Mercedes and Red Bull have both done it in recent times.
Mm.
And you think, now, 100 wins is essentially 5 seasons, which is a long time of winning every single race.
Yeah.
That's a lot of wins.
You think, because he's now, essentially Sebastian Vettel is third and 53. So he's not far off doubling third place. And that's just. Yeah, when you saw Schumacher's figure 91 all these years ago, you thought, well, nobody's going to get that. And now 100, and we've still got 2 more years, and. Could easily be another 10, couldn't they? So we could finish with 110 at least.
Yeah, it's some record. It's some record. Yeah. But you know what? When Schumacher did all his records, people said, no, and. That we're not going to see that beaten and everything, and here we are now. I wouldn't be surprised if someone comes along. It could be, you know, a long time away, but yeah. I wouldn't be surprised if someone comes along and beats it.
Yeah, you think Verstappen's on 17 now, so he could be, if he decides to hang around, because he could do, what's he, 24, he could do another 15 years, couldn't he?
Mm.
So he could do it, especially drivers who start very young now, even compared to Hamilton. Look back when Hamilton started at 22, it was like, cool, he's young to get into F1. But nowadays, if you're not in F1 at 22, you start to worry about you. Start to look at IndyCar contracts. It probably will be broken at some point, but it's just, hell of an achievement. I was just looking, they've got his strike rate or percentage is 35%. That's like,
wow,
more than one in three races he wins.
That's impressive.
Yeah. I know he's got a great car, but you still got to do it, haven't you?
Definitely, definitely.
Yeah. An all-time great.
100%. Agree with that. Awesome. Well, I think that is Russia wrapped up now. So we should go on to talk Turkey. Now, where in Russia Mercedes kind of did pretty well with their strategy and pretty much kind of had it nailed with the right time to pit and everything. Turkey was, well, let's say debatable. Now, it was, of course, the return of the slick to medium tyres. It was very similar to last year's race in terms of strategy with like that and the way the tyres were wearing off and everything. And it was the same dilemma. Do you pit and put on fresh inters, which you know aren't going to be as quick straight away, or do you just go on to the end on the one set of tyres, which are worn down? And you know, we know what these Pirellis are like. If they're very worn, there's a chance that they suddenly just blow up. Now, if you were in the Mercedes camp, what would have you done? Sorry, what would you have done? I worded that badly.
I'd probably done what they done.
Yeah.
Being honest.
Do you think they left it a little too late? Do you think they should have brought him in when the leaders came in? Or do you agree, like, leave him out for a bit?
Yeah, I suppose. Yeah, if you look back at the hindsight, you should have done, and then maybe we'd have had a chance of third or fourth. But then it was still going to be hard to overtake Perez.
Yeah.
And Leclerc was, if he'd have come in at the same time, as well as he was looking pretty quick, and he wasn't that much slower than Verstappen, was he? So I probably, they'd done something different. And I suppose the aggressive approach, obviously the team wanted to bring him in, so it's probably more Hamilton himself sort of staying out, but then you could understand him staying out because what happened last year.
Yeah, definitely.
He won a race by miles by staying out, didn't he? I know the track condition changed a decent amount from last year, but it wasn't drying up like it didn't dry up last year. So they've done something, I suppose they've done something different in a way. And I suppose when you come from the 11th he started, then why not try something different? And if it had followed him, he might end up finishing fifth again. I think I probably would have done the same. I think a lot's been made out of the radio calls.
Oh yeah, there always is.
they said that. Lando Norris told his engineers to shut up the previous race, didn't he?
Yeah.
And you know, everybody loves Lando and cheeky Lando and stuff, but he actually told the bloke to shut up. I know at times Kimmy's been on the radio, and sometimes that is downright rude what he says sometimes.
Oh yeah, but Kimmy knows what he's doing, so
he had a right go his engineer. I didn't hear it, didn't watch much of the practice this weekend, but apparently he had a right go his engineer about a drinks bottle.
Yeah, his feet were wet or something, so
yeah. So, and also I kind of think nobody's going to have a civilised calm conversation when you're driving at 200 miles an hour in damp conditions, right?
yeah, that's it.
You try that. So, but yeah, in my opinion, I probably would have done the same. How about you, Rich? What would you have done?
I think I would have probably brought him in with the leaders when they came in, just so you were on the same rubber. He was, how quick he got in practice and everything. He was the quickest guy on the on the grid around that track on that weekend. I think that, you know, if his tyres had faded, you know, gone through that kind of graining phase that they were talking about, if they had done that at the same time as the others, he could have still been faster than them at that specific moment. And then when his tyres were slicked again, he could have had more pace. But it's difficult because, I mean, you know, we saw he did catch Perez earlier in the race, and they had a battle for a good half a lap, didn't they?
Yes.
And it was good, clean, entertaining racing. Now, you know, Perez defended well, even if Hamilton had caught, as Murray always said, catching is one thing, overtaking is another. So, yeah, it might not have made any difference. But
yeah, the one, probably looking at Hamilton's race, I put worst thing out of either this racing or the strategy call was I did think he was quite cautious.
Yeah.
I suppose it's understandable because he's got a championship and it's damp conditions, so it's not easy to overtake people, especially in those conditions. Obviously, he's done some cracking overtakes around the outside of where the corner is in the first sector.
Yeah, it was. I can't remember what corner.
Yeah, I did think he was quite cautious at times, which, like the Perez one, I kind of thought, should he got that done? But I don't know if I'm. If I'm being a bit harsh, and he has got a championship to to try and win. I suppose you could say Verstappen was kind of, he seemed quite happy in second, and I suppose that was cautious in a way, but it's
yeah,
it's kind of, yeah.
Verstappen was a funny case that race, because he didn't really, it sounds bad, but he didn't really do anything.
Yeah,
he started the race, he drove around, he finished the race. That's basically the only way I can describe it. He didn't really have that much going on in between.
There's sort of one bit I thought, is he starting to put his foot down to catch Bottas, but then Bottas seemed to pull away again, and that was kind of like, he was like, okay, from early on, he seemed quite happy with second, it seemed. But which also makes sense, because you know, he's ahead of Hamilton, so he's gaining points on him. But yeah, seems to be. Seem more cautious when they're not racing each other.
Yeah,
they're racing. Verstappen racing each other, then it all kicks off. But when they're not racing each other, they're pretty cautious at the moment.
Yeah, no, true. But, I mean, we have to mention in here as well about Ferrari. They had some good pace. They're showing a bit of form. We had Charles Leclerc, who obviously for a while led the race before Bottas kind of came past on his fresh tyres. But we also had Carlos Sainz, who started at the back of the grid, come flying through, overtaking everyone. Some great moves from Sainz in there as well. And I think he finished, was it eighth in the end?
Yeah, finished eighth, yeah.
Yeah.
I've just got the, let's see, I've got the highlights from the race going around the background. I just seen his pit stop, which was a slow pit stop, so he even lost more time there. But yeah, to finish 4 seconds behind Norris, I'd say from the back of the grid, it seems like early on he was just overtaking somebody per lap, wasn't it? I'd seen on the highlights of Vettel coming out on the softs.
that was going to be my next talking point. So
I'll quickly round up science there, but it was a cracker. I suppose maybe the rallying, you know, genes that he's got in him from his dad helping those conditions, but there's actually one time I actually fully agreed with the driver of the day.
Yeah,
I thought it was he deserved that. Yeah, but like I say, yeah, Ferrari looked quick all weekend, really, and it seemed to suit them the layout of the track, where maybe McLaren it didn't quite suit them. So there seems to be the way at the moment, there's sort of a switch of a Ferrari quick at track or McLaren's too quick in their battle for third place. But good weekend for Ferrari.
Yeah, it was. And you mentioned the former Ferrari driver Vettel and the Aston Martin. Now, that was was he 10th or 11th at the time he came into the pits?
I think he was about 11th, wasn't it? I think
so. He was just outside the points then. So I couldn't remember if he was just in the points or just outside. But it seemed a mad call to.
Yeah.
To go from there to say, yeah, we'll be the ones to try dry tyres.
I just looked at it. He's 14th, actually.
Oh, he dropped way down then.
So maybe it was. I suppose you can argue it's worth a risk, but it didn't look anywhere close to slicks, did it?
No, it seemed a weird call. And
yeah.
I mean, I was watching a clip, and there was the team radio, and there was Vettel trying to drive around, and his team were just like, okay, second behind is this guy. And he can't keep the car on the road, and in that, you know, straight past him in an instant. So it's like, okay, this guy's behind. And it's like, no, he's not. He's ahead of you already because you're not on the track yet. And it's, you know, dry tyres in the wet, and your team there saying, okay, watch out for this guy behind. Oh, and this guy's behind, just in case you didn't know. And it's like,
yes, like, all right, cheers. That's you, sorry. I was wrong. Sorry, he was 11th.
Oh, he was.
Sorry, yeah, I got it completely wrong. So, but yeah, of course, at the wrong time. So yeah, so he was pretty close to the points. So let's say if he was 15th, 16th, then like Alonso obviously all went wrong for him at the start. If he said, "Oh, I'll go on slicks," so that's maybe worth a try. But yeah, it was just very brave, and it was obviously must have been a horrendously long lap, wasn't it, to try and get back in the.
Oh, I mean, you'd be clenched in there driving that, wouldn't you? Just trying not to spin, and it was a weird call. You were watching it; you could see his team coming out on dry tyres, and I just thought, this is not going to go well. There's no way is this going to work.
So it was lap 37 that he came in. So still a good chunk, still 20 odd laps to go.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was just funny, just him going around and then suddenly it sort of flashed up at the top left-hand screen, like, sector 2, yellow flag. Is like, Vettel obviously ran wide. Sector 3, it's Vettel again. And then he crashed into the pits as well, didn't he?
Yeah, he did, He came in the pits and just kind of parked it on the entrance, like, okay.
I was quite impressed how he caught that, to be honest.
Yeah, it was completely sideways. It was impressive.
Poor old Sebastian.
But we should say obviously Valtteri Bottas, he won the race. Kind of good timing that he's now starting to find some form for Mercedes after he's not got a contract for next year. But it was his first win of the season, which seems mad.
Yeah, it's his first win in every year, sort of. That's. Unfortunately, that's why he didn't get contract, isn't it?
Yeah.
He wins. He's winning one or two races a year. That's...
Well, if you said at the start of the season that, like, at this time, you'd have Bottas with one win, and then that would be the same amount of wins as an Alpine, a McLaren, you'd be like,
yes, exactly, yeah.
Really? This is going to be, you know, a really close season. There's been two teams obviously really close, but the others have been a bit further out of it. But for them to have a race win, not just from luck as well, and Bottas to only have one win, it seems a bit mad.
Yeah, I suppose. You look, I mean, he's always, as a sort of, you know, especially in qualifying, he's always quick to Hamilton. Race pace is often the bigger difference between them. But that's his 10th race win, wasn't it? So he's been there 5 years. So he's averaging two wins a year, which in that car that he's had, and we already mentioned, obviously, Hamilton's wins. He's been one of the best number twos there's been, but Mercedes had to go Russell, didn't he? They have to, especially with Hamilton. If Hamilton was 5 years younger, then I think it's more of a debate, but you have to look to the future as well for Mercedes. And he did a great time at Mercedes, and obviously won some races, which many people in F1 never do, but it was time. But
yeah,
and then people now saying, oh no, he's now racing better because he's got clarification on what he's doing, it's not the pressure, but that's what being part of a big team is, isn't it? It is the pressure every week, isn't it?
Yeah, 100%. And I think
you have to win. Yeah,
I think there's other drivers who would deal with it better and deliver better results, and that's what Red Bull have found with their second driver Perez. Is there he is doing. I kept finding it funny how on the highlights for Turkey, they were showing, like, oh, at this corner, it was a great overtake. And there's a theme developing, but they keep showing on the highlights of the track and places to watch clips of Albon overtaking a driver. Now, this is from last year, and he was obviously in the Red Bull, but then he's overtaking an Alfa Romeo or something. And they keep like, oh, and remember turn 8 last year where Alex Albon did this brilliant overtake, and it's like, but he's in a Red Bull overtaking an Alfa Romeo.
Yes.
It's not.
Yeah.
No disrespect, but it's not difficult in far, you know, a vastly superior car. I'll probably get some hate for saying that, but it's fine. But it just made me laugh that I keep seeing that. But now Perez is there this year. He is more often than not being able to be there, although maybe not as much as he should be.
No, a lot of people said, oh, he had a great race the weekend. I was like, well, he qualified. He had a good race, I thought, on the Sunday. He qualified 7th, which isn't good enough. And then he was 20-odd seconds behind Verstappen.
Yeah.
And, like, yeah, he held up Hamilton, but should he not have a good job at trying to hold up Hamilton when he's in a Red Bull? The sort of cars are pretty fairly even. And also, yeah, annoyed me. Did he get driver of the day in Holland? Because he came back from some race. He spun early and then made his sort of way back through the grid and was on the field and was good overtakes. But like, he messed. I mean, he had a big lockup. Sorry, not a spin. A big lockup. So he'd come in early. I was like, well, this is his fault for making a big lockup, which is a huge mistake to do. And then, he overtook some cars the second half of the field. Well, what would we do? You're in the quickest car, one of the two quickest cars going. So he should do. So yeah, I know you got the argument that maybe the Red Bull is more suited to Max Verstappen, which I get, and it's obviously his first year in Red Bull. But I think he should be doing better. And even then, you look back at Valtteri's got the boot and what he does, he's often there or thereabouts, especially in qualifying.
Yeah.
Anyway.
And while we're on the topic of Red Bull, actually, I think the final point we should mention is their special livery they had for the Turkish Grand Prix, because it was supposed to be the Japanese Grand Prix. And because Honda are leaving, Red Bull wanted to do something special. So they made their car what was essentially the Japanese flag. They just made it white, and where the number was, they put a red circle around it. Now, did you like it? What were your thoughts on the special livery?
I didn't mind it. I occasionally get it mixed up with the Haas.
Yeah.
I sort of come around the corner like, oh no, this is the Red Bull. I think there was one point, I think there was like, Hamilton was coming behind the two Haases. I thought, what's happened? Verstappen and Perez had dropped back pretty quickly. Oh no, it's just the two Haases getting lapped. So, yeah, I didn't mind. I thought it was a nice touch. To better Red Bull, they have been nice, really good to Honda, which McLaren never were. It might have been McLaren. If Honda were McLaren now, it might be different. I think Andreas Seidel's teams are pretty decent and head screwed on kind of guy as a team principal. But yeah, and I think they had some sort of announcement they're going to keep working together even from next year. And yeah, I think it's a nice touch. And you know, they could end up winning the championship together. So. And the deal they've got as well with the Red Bull engines going forward seems really good of Honda to do what they've done and let Red Bull sort of take it over.
Yeah, definitely.
So yeah, that was a nice touch. Did you like livery?
I did like it. I was so pleased Red Bull did something different, because I find their normal one pretty boring, to be fair. The one thing that annoyed me was, like, pre-season they always show us these kind of test liveries and they're really cool, really quirky, something entirely different. And so we know they've got the imagination there to do something cool, but they just went with white. I feel like they could have done something better, really. I don't know, just something more exciting.
But yeah, I think they are sort of Honda racing colours as well, but...
Oh yeah, it's the championship white, isn't it, they have on there?
Yeah.
Remember the old Civics, people loving that, and...
Oh yes, true, yeah. I was glad they didn't go for that. Was the Earth look or whatever they went? Honda went for in 07 or whatever that was.
Oh my, the Button and Barrichello days.
Yeah, didn't help it was a shocking car as well. But so, yeah, it was okay. But I mean, yeah, he's, with Red Bull, it's like surprised they didn't do more stuff like that, because they're kind of a, I don't know what the word, a quirky brand? No, I don't know. But they like to try stuff anyway, the Red Bull brand, don't they? And
yeah, they've got more imagination than just the white, but hey ho. Any other big talking points from Turkey we need to pick up? Or I think we've got everything.
I thought, did we talk about the penalties at the start? Pierre Gasly's penalty.
Oh, of course, yes. Yeah, we didn't even talk about the start, man.
With old, and obviously Alonso and the starts. I thought that was harsh.
What, Gasly hitting Alonso?
Yeah, the penalty for like, the 5 seconds. I thought that was, yeah. Because yeah, Perez on his inside. I don't really know what else he could do. And
yeah. I think he just kind of understeered into Alonso. Alonso was in the firing line, being on the outside, going in to turn one on the outside in wet conditions. You kind of know what's going to happen.
Three doesn't fit that often in dry conditions, but in wet conditions, that's never going to fit, is it?
Yeah.
But I thought, I just thought first lap, first corner. Yeah, I thought it was a little bit harsh.
Yeah. But I think the stewards did a pretty fair job further round with Alonso trying to overtake Mick Schumacher.
Yes, but yeah.
And basically just got to drive into him.
Yeah. It was a shame for him. Shame for Schumacher after his... got into, didn't he, on the festival?
Got to P14.
Yeah, so that was a bit of a... But yeah, it was a proper clout. That was a proper taken out, wasn't it? But I think there's a picture I saw of Alonso hugging him afterwards, apologising.
Yeah, he did go and apologise. And I think he's got a lot of friends on the grid, has Mick, just because of the name, I think. So
yeah. People seem to want to sort of look after him in a way, don't they? Which I suppose kind of makes sense. There's a lot of them race against his dad.
Yeah, and I think if you're looking at his teammate, Mazepin, I mean... he's not making any friends on the grid because of the way he's driving. He's already upset people in qualifying, the way he just overtakes. But then also, like in this race, we had Hamilton coming through lapping him, didn't we?
Yeah.
On the back straight and through there's a kind of the kink in the straight. And he just turned right across in front of Hamilton and it was just a bit like, ooh!
Yeah.
For a second, I thought they were going to hit or something. And it was just like, what is this guy doing?
He doesn't quite often, though. He just doesn't seem to... Like, blue flags just doesn't seem to register with him. But it's also, like... It's quite obvious that, I mean, the team must tell him that somebody's coming behind. And I mean, Schumacher was behind him, so Schumacher dropped off a bit, and then there's suddenly a black car behind you. Well, you know that's not... You know that's... You're being lapped, because you are... The two Hassans are the last two cars on the track, so...
Yeah.
But it happens quite often. Yeah, because occasionally this is going to happen. You're not going to see somebody or whatever, and you do hold somebody up. But it seems to happen a lot with him. But, yeah.
Yeah, not making any friends. Awesome. Right, well, I think that's everything. So, everyone, please do let us know your thoughts. Get in touch. There's many ways to get in touch. Best place to start is Patreon, patreon.com/NRF1. You'll find usually the full edition of the podcast, which will include the Off the Weekend Awards, the Norfolk Notebook, and the Pit Stops. We're skipping those for today just because we've got a lot to get through, but we will be back on that very soon. So do keep an eye on there. Social media, of course. As usual, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. The handle for all three is at the NRF1. And you can email us as well. That email address is nrf1podcast@gmail.com.
Hello, everyone. This is Jake Humphrey here. You're listening to the best Formula One podcast from the best county in the world, the NRF1 podcast. And I wasn't paid any money to say that.
No, I did give you some beers.
Great stuff. So moving on from Turkey, there's already been some talk about how Mercedes kind of had the advantage and Verstappen's encouraging his team to do what they can and pull something out to make sure they can stay in touch. Now, Verstappen is leading the championship by 6 points as it stands. Who do you think it will take the advantage moving forward? Do you think it's just the circuits which have suited Mercedes, or do you think they've found something in their car, or is it just Red Bull have lost a bit?
Yeah, because there's been, like, a bit of talk last few rounds that Mercedes have an advantage. I think a lot of it is the setup and getting that right. I think the cars are pretty even, to be honest. I think it's just all on the weekend and who gets the car in the sweet spot.
Mm-hmm.
Also depending on the track as well, and maybe the drivers. I mean, obviously going to the US next time, which is normally a favourite of Hamilton's, and then you follow up, we're going to Mexico, and that's normally a favourite of Red Bull, isn't it? So
yeah,
I just think it's going to be swinging between each race, which makes it a great battle towards the end of the season. And especially we've got two races that, or two new tracks as well, so I think it's just really hard to tell.
It's going to be exciting, though.
Yeah, exactly. That's the most important bit of it. It's going to be exciting.
So, 100%.
Yeah.
Cool. Well,
you
mentioned...
know which is best for me. Yeah.
Yeah, that's it. You're going race to race. You just don't know who it's going to be. And that's all we can hope for. And, I mean, who knows? This could be the one that goes down to the final race of the season.
Yeah.
And, of course, with Abu Dhabi making the track changes, it could be interesting.
Oh, yeah. Forgot about those, yeah.
But we should... You kind of mentioned a couple of new tracks. We should mention, obviously, we're going to Saudi Arabia, aren't we? But there's also a race in Qatar. So it's going to be in November. And a 10-year deal has been agreed to race in Qatar. Is it the same circuit that they use for the MotoGP?
Yes. Yep. Cool. Which is... Yeah, it's a fairly decent track. I think it'll be quite... F1 cars look pretty quick around there. It's got a long start-finish straight, which will hopefully be good. I assume it's a night race.
Yeah, I was going to say, is it a night race? I imagine it is.
It must be, yeah, because to be fair, when MotoGP do it in a night race, and you see some of the... A bit like Bahrain, it's just... seems to... When it's at night time, it seems to... don't know, create better racing in a weird way. You sort of watch the practice sessions around there, and then sometimes in the light, and I was just racing around the desert, but
yeah,
the lights do make it look pretty good. So I think I'm quite excited by that. I think it's because they're racing this year, aren't they, and then not next year because of the World Cup, and then I think the deal then kicks in again
2023. Yeah, that sounds right.
Track looks pretty good. Never a huge amount of spectators. They just seem to have a grandstand down the start finish straight, so I don't know. Not many anymore there. The track's pretty decent. I mean, obviously, you got the debate over whether we should be going to places like these, but that's a whole other big debate, isn't it?
we could go on hours about that, so we won't bring
that
up. That
one. I'm always excited for new. For new tracks, and especially when it's we got Saudi Arabia, the penultimate race, and obviously Qatar's race before that. So, yeah, I'm excited by it.
Yeah, should be good. And I don't think it was mentioned last time, but we've had confirmation of the driver changes: Bottas to Alfa Romeo, Russell in at Mercedes, and Alex Albon is returning to Williams. It might have been said. I've got a inkling now that Dan might have said on the previous podcast it was a while ago, so just a reminder everyone, that's happened, that's the news. Otherwise, I think that's it for the news. I think the only other thing I've got to say is I've really missed Martin Brundle the last couple of races.
I was starting to get slightly worried, but it just seems like he's been racing classic cars, doesn't it? Stuff around, so he's just been having fun. I was like, "Oh, it's Martin, all right." But he seems to be having fun around various racetracks. I think he's racing with Zach Brown, wasn't he, the weekend?
I don't know.
I saw pictures, but although I did think Jenson Button was pretty good on commentary. The few times he's done it this year, I think he's been pretty good.
He's been alright. it's wound me up a couple of times when he's been like, he'll kind of reminisce about, oh, when I was driving, I did this and I did that. And it's like, all right, we get it. You used to drive a car. Just tell us what's going on. but that is good insight to have.
I did like his insight when he said about the Hamilton's pit stop, when they finally called him in, or made him come in, we won't put it. They saw Gasly's pit stop window to come in, and Hamilton went, oh, okay. And I did look at the fact that Button went, I think he thinks that Gasly's behind him. So he thinks he'll stay in the same position, which is maybe from his experience of working with Hamilton, maybe he knew that's how he was thinking. But I thought that was a good point. I think he's done a decent job. I prefer him to Paul de Rester.
Yeah, I'd agree with that.
I think Paul de Rester sometimes does a bit too much talking. but they're all good. The Sky pundits are all pretty decent. It'll be good to see Martin back, which I think he said he will be back for the rest of the season. So I'm sure I saw a tweet of his.
Oh, that's great. That's great news.
Yeah. And Norfolk Zone, Martin Brundle.
Oh, that's it. We have to support our local guys.
Exactly.
Awesome. Right, well, it is the US Grand Prix up next. You mentioned this is kind of one of Hamilton's stomping grounds. He likes racing in America, and he's usually pretty good around the COTA.
Yes, I'm trying to have a quick look at his record around there, but I'm struggling to find it. But he seems to enjoy America, North America as well, really, isn't he? Because he's often pretty good around Canada as well. So did he win? Yeah, obviously won his first race in Canada, didn't he? Then he backed up with a win at Indianapolis. So yeah, he's been pretty quick around there. So be interesting. But from watching the MotoGP race, it was last weekend. It was incredibly bumpy.
I've just managed to find it actually on Wikipedia, and there was of course no American Grand Prix there last year. Looking previously though, 2019 Bottas won it, 2018 Raikkonen won it, and then it was Hamilton, 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 then Vettel, then Hamilton. So it's been 2 years, well, two three years. Because of COVID, since Hamilton has won in America. So
yeah, he'll be desperate.
Yeah, you would imagine so anyway.
But I really enjoy the track there. It seems to have it's got a good mix of, which the first part of the track is sort of flowing bends, and then you've got a long straight, haven't you? And then you've got the sort of more tight, twisty bits towards the end of the lap. But like I said, the MotoGP, it was incredibly bumpy. And some of the drivers, or riders, I should say, were even thinking about boycotting it because it was that bad.
Oh, wow.
So it'll be interesting to see how the F1 cars go around there.
Yeah, definitely. That's going to be a good watch, actually. We'll keep an eye out for that one. So there you go. That's Kyle's... what's the word? Like... keep your eyes out. I don't know. I try to think of a new section that we're just going to add in. Your point of the week or something, I don't know. That'll do. My brain's fried already.
Watch out for the bumps.
but no, that's going to be interesting. Who do you think's going to be the ones to watch? Do you think it will be the Mercedes, or do you think Red Bull will come back and offer something?
Yeah. Got no idea, to be honest.
Because, they've got a good long straight there. We know both cars can be quick in a straight line. There's obviously a few tight turny bits. We've got the long right hander. They kind of emulated Turkey's turn 8, didn't they? Just that long right hander. So some high speed corners.
Yeah,
Got also, a bit of everything.
Yeah, also seems at the moment in F1 there seems to be a lot of rain about. Over the years we've had a few wet conditioned races in Texas. I mean, one year I think even qualifying was cancelled, so that might be a factor.
Well, I've just googled, obviously we're a couple of weeks beforehand, but I've just googled Austin weather. It's warm, 28 degrees currently, highs of 32 it says. However, it's overcast today, and Wednesday and Thursday it says rain, and it says in big red letters flash flood watch. So there's a watch now in effect from Wednesday morning through to Thursday evening. So there's obviously a storm underway. So, I mean, yeah. Rain in Texas might not necessarily be completely out of it.
So, yeah. I'm going to say we're going to rain for the rest of the season, but then I realised that the last few races are in the Middle East, aren't they? So, I mean, I can honestly couldn't predict if Red Bull or Mercedes is going to be quick. I still think that Hamilton is very good round there, but then he's good at every track. Verstappen is good at every track. So I just hope they're both at the front again and battling away, because you can race around Austin. So
yeah, you can. It's a proper circuit, isn't it?
And if there are these bumps and that does cause issues and unpredictability, then hopefully another Max Lewis battle.
Let's hope so. And you never know, maybe Ferrari and McLaren can get up in the mix as well.
Yep.
Awesome. Well, I think it's fair to say we're looking forward to it. Anything else you want to bring up looking ahead to America?
Just kind of thinking if anybody needs a good weekend. I suppose you've still got
That's the point. Who's most important weekend for? Let's do that.
I've got a Giovinazzi.
Yeah.
Just see if he can. I'm not convinced he will be in F1 next year. From the rumours, it seems that they could choose between Zhou from F2 and Piastri in F2. His name doesn't seem to be mentioned too often for retaining his seat anyway. So, but if he can have some decent races, then he may have a chance. So yeah, just a big weekend for him, really.
Yeah, definitely. I think it's got probably all the final races are going to be big for him until Alpha announce something. It's going to be vital for him.
I think they said afterwards that he ignored a team order to let Raikkonen by. So maybe he's already knows that he's off and thought, well, stuff that. Yeah. You boot me out, why should I give up a place for anybody? But
oh dear, well, we'll see. Let's hope he has a good race. But you know, I wouldn't mind seeing Zhou in one of the cars. I think he's a good driver, so we'll see. But I think that nicely wraps everything up from we're looking ahead to America anyway. So I think that's everything. So I'll say that we will return with E286, which will be our US Grand Prix review. That'll be in a couple of weeks' time. So in the meantime, thank you, Kyle, for joining me. It's been good.
Yep, cheers, Rich.
And we'll look forward to the next one. Like I said earlier, we will be back on it with the Patreon exclusive podcast as well. So do get over to Patreon and keep an eye on those coming in the near future. But in the meantime, thank you for listening. Thank you for your support. This has been the NRF1 podcast. We'll see you next time. Bye.